A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Ksubas Pei Gimel, Ksubas 83a, pagination 165, starting from the beginning of the page, the new perek. Hakosev le'ishto, a person writes a document to his wife that has a very interesting agreement. Din u'devarim ein li b'nechseich. I have no claim on your property. Now, keep in mind, normally, the property of the woman brought into a marriage is going to generate peros, benefit, which the husband will get, while the principal, the actual land itself, is going to still belong to the woman. This husband wrote, I don't have any claim on your property. Hareza ochel peros bechayeho. He continues, despite this document, to be able to reap the benefits of the fruit, the rent, the fruit from the fruit trees. He's still allowed to do that. V'imesa yarsha, and if she dies before him, he will inherit her, as a man does to his wife. Imkein lama kosav lo dinu dvarim ein li b'nechseich, and what are the ramifications of his statement? She'imachra v'nasna kayum, that if she were to sell the property, it would work. We discussed this in a previous session, that under normal circumstances, that becomes a very confusing case. She can't sell the property from under him, so to speak. He's allowed to reap the benefits. But because he wrote these words, din u'dvarim ein li menechseich, I have no claim, what he means is, the marriage progresses, he's allowed to reap the benefits, he's going to inherit her if she dies first. What he means to say is, if you sold it from under me, it would be a valid sale, and I would not be able to claim, hey, what are you doing? Now, when exactly did he write these interesting words that are so passive? He's not making a kinyan, he's not granting her any rights that she didn't have before. He's being very passive. Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechseich, I will have no claim on the property. And then after he wrote it up in a document, he's giving it to her. So there's some sort of transfer of rights. How does that work? So the Mefarshim say that this is talking ba'oda arusa, after the kiddushin, before the nesuin. And the reason is simple. If he tried to write these types of words while she was a penuya, an unmarried girl, meaning before the kiddushin, so then it's a davar shaloba olam. He's granting her something that he does not yet own. He doesn't have anything here that he can give her. And therefore such a wording would be meaningless. Once she has kiddushin before nesuin, so then we encountered that case. It was a discussion, Beishamei, Beishillel, if she's allowed to sell. But certainly, it's on standby to become his. She's married to him on a kiddushin level, even if he didn't yet take her into his house. And therefore, this wording would be appropriate to express what he's trying to say. Once he did nesuin and took her into the house, then this is his, and using a passive wording like this would not work. It would require a true kinyan in which he's transferring his rights to her so that she can sell the land which he has a degree of rights in. Let's continue on the fourth line at the end of the line. Kos of law. Let's say he writes to her a different wording. Dinu dvarim eli b'nechsech uve peiro sehen. I don't have rights in the property and in their fruit. He would not be able to eat the fruit during her lifetime because he specifically identified that that's part of the deal. And if she dies, Yorsha, he still inherits her. That didn't change. Let's skip about three lines. And the second word on the line, kosavlo, he writes to her a different text. Dinu dvarim ein li b'nechseich uve peiroseyen, uve peiri peiroseyen, a very generous wording. I should have no rights in your property, in the fruit of the fruit, anything that develops from the property, b'chayechu v'moseich, during your lifetime and after your death, I should have no rights. Eino ochal peres b'chayeha, then indeed, he doesn't get benefit during her lifetime. And likewise, v'imesa eino yarsha, the Tanakhama says, if she dies before him, he's not going to inherit her because that was the deal. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that we have to pay attention to a very important principle. Imesa Yiroshena. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is that if she dies, even after such a condition, such a document, Yiroshena, he will inherit her. Mipnei, because. Shemasna ama shakosov batorah. He is making a condition on something that's written in the Torah. The Torah says you do inherit, and you can't go against that. Rashi points out that until now we were discussing peros, the benefit of the land, and that's all derabbanan, so you can make a condition, Rashi says. But over here, you're making a condition on something that's fundamental in the Torah, and you can't make such a condition. V'chal ha-masna ma-shakosa ba-Torah t'na'o batal. And a person who makes such a condition against something in the Torah, his Tanai doesn't work. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel maintains that he will still inherit her despite his bold statement. Now, in Halacha, there's another twist to this, because the attitude is that we need to consider is bedavar shebemamon tana'o kayam. It could be that if it's a condition regarding financial things, then his condition does work. And we have to differentiate between different types of conditions as to what exactly the person is stating his condition regarding. And how it plays out, if it's a money thing, it could be that it does. The Ramah in Tzadi Beis, in Evan Ezer, Sif Zayin points out that if instead of a Tanai, the person is Mechayiv Atzno Lahachzir Liyarsheha, he obligates himself to return the property to her family, Tzarech Lekayim, he would be obligated to indeed fulfill his condition. Fulfill his commitment. And that's a nuance that we often consider in the wording of either a prenup or of a will. We need to know, are we making a condition? Are we making a gift? Are we obligating ourselves? Because each of these types of approaches could have their own ramifications. And in certain cases, for example, Mitzvah lekayim divrei hames. It's a mitzvah to fulfill the words of the person who was dying. When he said it, he tells you how to distribute his estate. So in certain cases, it's simply because it's a mitzvah lekayim, and it's obligatory to fulfill the statement, but not that it was done as an actual condition. So again, what we get out of this Gemara, with this Mishnah, is the significance of the little nuances in the way the condition was worded, and likewise, at what point of their relationship is he trying to word this as a condition or as a commitment, because at certain times it would actually require a full-fledged kinyan in order to be binding. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.